samedi. Sunday. CKUT 90.3 FM, a different sound every day of the week. Donate now, help support your community radio.
CKUT. My name is Aaron, and today we are speaking with Blood Incantation, a cosmic death metal band whose new album Time Wave Zero abandons any of the band's recognizable elements in favor of meditative synthesizers, settling on a mix of ambient, new age, cosmiche, and yes, even still, elements of death metal buried deep beneath. I'm here with members Isaac and Paul of Blood Incantation. Congratulations to you both on your new album. It's a really wonderful achievement. Could you tell me a bit about what the feedback has been like for a record that mixes new age and ambient and psychedelic? There's still lots of metal present on this record.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool that you say that, because that's something that we feel is, like, you know, ultimately it is made by a metal band. I mean, we are metalheads. We like dark music, but we also like all this other stuff. And so, you know, in a way, that dark, heavy quality that metal has, I do think has come through. But, you know, I would say we're very happy with the response. Overall, very positive response to this, you know, record that to us was not that crazy of a thing to do, but, you know, in hindsight and now having done many interviews and the reviews coming out, like, people are like, wow, what a bold move, you know. And to us, it's like, oh, okay, I guess so.
Bass band makes bass record. Oh my gosh.
Tell me a bit about the steps the band has made in preparing to write this record. I know Paul, at the very least, has been releasing solo synthesizer records on his own, but I would be curious as to whether or not the band began studying modular synthesis together, what gear you felt was necessary to acquire in preparation for the writing, and so on. Could you please talk a bit about that?
Well, I could say I've personally been making, you know, solo experimental synthesizer and acoustic type music since about 2008. And, you know, Isaac also has his band Falcon's Eye, where he plays new age acoustic guitar synthesizer type of stuff with his brother. And all of us in varying degrees have always appreciated atmospheric components, whether it's in a metal band or a band like Pink Floyd or bands like Ulver and Sun. But at least for BI, you know, our first demo, Interdimensional Extinction, that was recorded in 2013, it starts with a singing bowl and some synthesizer. And there's synths on all the tracks. There's clean guitars. There's a big synth noise, dive bomb delay melt at the end. And that was put in place on our first recording specifically to let people know that this has not ever and nor ever will be a four on the floor straight traditional type death metal band. once we were working for this record, Time Wave Zero, we took down the drum kit, we put the guitars away, and for a year solid, we just improvised together, four dudes in the room playing live. And initially, we didn't even have a computer or interface or mixers or anything like that. We just played out of the guitar amps, which imbued an interesting sonic quality in its own right. But we just played out of the guitar amps and then recorded it with a phone in the middle of the room just to kind of see what's happening. And we had to learn for about a year how to communicate with each other in that context. Because one thing that I think people take for granted about metal and rock-based music with guitars and drums and whatnot is that you always have a physical skeleton keeping you safe. You can fall back on a consistent type of drum beat or hit open and then resume the riff or whatnot. And so there's this safety net playing death metal that you can push it far, and people do crazy stuff. You know, there's microtonal guitars and extended scales and all this crazy, you know, 9, 12, 50 string guitars. But for removing all of the stuff that we identify as, you know, we're metal musicians, we've been in metal bands for 20 years, and removing all of that, having the synthesizers in the room, we had to learn how to be a band in that capacity, you know, and learn, you know, there's counterpoint, there's, you know, melodies that work together, there's bass parts, there's rhythmic parts, there's pads and atmospheric parts, and we had to learn how to put all of that together in a soup that didn't just sound like the original recordings where it's just four guys improvising with a phone in the middle of the room. It's not four people just pressing one key in a computer. It's four people playing analog equipment in real time, recording it on analog tape as a group, just like we do for our death metal records. So at the same time, exactly the same as we've done all of our other records, but in the other hand, totally different environment for us to do that same process.
Was it important to decide on distinct roles for each band member as you began writing and jamming together?
I don't think so. I think that's kind of what makes it interesting. All four people contributing equally for the first time in this new context. But one thing we have, after the fact, noticed that we thought was kind of interesting is that we do have parts where, you know, the rhythm section, Jeff and Isaac, not all of the time, obviously everybody at some point is playing a lead part, everyone's doing a solo part, everyone's doing a bass part, we all mix it up. But in general, Jeff and Isaac seem to kind of sync up holding the framework, and then Morris and I will do more melodic, like counterpoint type of exchange, very similar to how we do our actual death metal. But like I said, there's parts where sometimes all I'm hitting is the lowest note, and then, you know, Isaac's doing the solo, or Jeff's doing the solo, or, you know, so it's more amorphous, but it was interesting that our natural songwriting styles still kind of came up in that new context.
Yeah, it was, I think, interesting to see that our dynamic as a band, as like our personalities, because I think we each have like a distinct personality within the band, and just, you know, in the way we write and who we are as people, but like those things kind of come through in the context of just the four of us in a room playing synthesizers. You kind of can feel that they're like Paul said, Paul and Morris will have this kind of synchronized riff playing almost, while Jeff and I are kind of, we have like our spot, you know,
that's like they're pushing it forward, and then, you know, Morris and I are doing like the combination type parts or whatnot. Yeah. It's the limitless potential of this infinite sound source that you can make a sound, you can make synth sound all these different ways. So if we do have a melodic sequencer type of part that kind of sinks down and forms the bedrock for this part, you can have not just two guitars versions worth of melody or counterpoint. Like we have some chords that are not physically possible to make. Like the total sound that is happening on Time Wave sometimes is like, you know, four people using two hands each and making a huge, like, symphonic compositional stack of this tonal complementing. And that really opens up the potential for us to create textures and moods that are beyond, you know, the more than effective 24 frets that we've already been using for many years. But there's only so many frets, and that's why people use extended scale guitars and other things like that. But for the synths, when you're using all this stuff at the same time, you know, very seldom is everybody playing the same note. And, you know, maybe people perceive it as that because the density of some of these tones is really low and fat, and so they kind of blend together. But I think the importance of why we do it live, like at the record release show last week, is to show people how these parts are interacting, which make this big compositional stack of tone. It's not everyone hitting the same open note or whatnot. It's everyone working together to make this giant chord, which is now moving gradually through the movements as a group.
Speaking about performing live and you playing your release show recently, I think when musicians step on stage together, especially when it's players who've been together for a long time, there is a spiritual component to being on stage. And for me, there's an energy shift, or your awareness is heightened or changed in some way. I know that not every performer will agree with me on this.
I would say we agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be very curious if you would be willing to talk about how the energy exchange and your relationship with each other as players changes with this new setup, and also how does the energy change in the exchange with your audience?
Well, I can...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say it's the biggest change is physical, because for me as the drummer, playing a metal show is so intensely physical that, you know, I'm often not as aware of, I mean, there is this like total energetic change and the adrenaline, but not just that. There's also this like, you know, energy, kind of confluence between the audience and the performer and the various performers. And like, we've often said that there's this like intense thing that Blood Incantation specifically, different than our other bands, has that when we play together,
it's not there. Like if we practice without vocals, or if we practice with just three out of the four people, it's not there.
Yeah, but once we get all the elements
plus the vocals and we make it, there's a certifiable presence there that we've been noticing since about 2014 and maybe 15, and it's, I think honestly, people pick up on that, whether it's intentional or subconscious. I think there's that energy exchange. One thing I do want to say about the spiritual connectivity of this environment for Time Wave in particular. So, you know, like we were saying, we improvise a lot in the space, you know, just jamming, and we can't do that in a death metal context at a show. But one thing we did do for the improv set at the Time Wave show, like, you know, one, a lot of people went to the show willingly blind, where they were like, I'm just going to see what these guys are doing. Let's find out. And some people went into it thinking that Blood Incantation's ambient release show was going to be a death metal concert, which seems a little unusual. But again, you know, people are going to push on the door that says pull. So, you know, people don't read signs. It's fine. But the energy of everybody watching you in a non-death metal way, it's really vulnerable. It's really intense. And, you know, it's a lot easier, similar to playing slow is sometimes more difficult than playing very fast, because if you make mistakes, it's easier to clean, to cover it up with the sound and the loud volume and whatnot. But when everyone is sitting there and you're improvising, so not only are you looking at the players and you're listening, you're feeling the vibe, everyone's kind of in tune, and you have to be really sensitive and aware to these subtle changes and things that are happening. That's the improv. That's the whole reason why it's fun. You know, every genre that improvises is very fun, usually, for the people playing at least. But part of the thing I thought was so crazy about this show is when we came out for the improv set, if you had listened to Time Wave, you would have had some kind of barometer for what to interpret this as for the set. But then once we come out for the improv set, everybody doesn't, simultaneously, no one knows what's coming, and they're not focused on what's just happened. They're in the moment. They're right there, right now. And think about, for example, 700 people focusing on the now. You can pay $100 an hour at Lululemon to get that type of zen. But if you just come to this type of an environment, or any of these, you know, progressive, ambient, whatever shows, trance shows, all the stuff, but when they're jamming and everyone is there feeling it at the same time in the moment, that psychic energy is tangible. You can look into the crowd and see people that are with you in a new moment that has never happened before and will not happen again, because it's coming and it's going and it's changing, and it's this huge amorphous pool of sound. And I thought when we were playing, I would be looking out in particular during the improv set, because the other set, you have to, you know, I'm transposing a wrong key onto this thing, trying to pay attention or whatnot. And you have to, you know what's coming. So you're thinking just like a regular, like if we, in death metal, we can't, we have trouble starting a song halfway through because our brains are just hardwired to know the journey. So we have to go through the whole time. And with the Time Wave material, we similarly are like, okay, well, I know I need to get to this point so that once I rest on this key, this is going to happen over there. But during the improv, it was just 700 plus people sharing the now, which is a type of literal meditation. I mean, you know, people pay money to go try to have someone tell them how to get into the moment like that. It was transcendent for me. I couldn't believe the sensation.
Yeah, I would definitely reiterate that like I definitely understand the, I mean, there's, you know, the improvisation aspect of music goes everywhere from jazz to jam band to Frank Zappa, whatever, you know, whatever it is, to, you know, Tangerine Dream and Can and these krautrock bands that were doing this sort of thing. But there is, and like my kind of, I guess my trajectory into that world was definitely through progressive rock. And that's definitely something that we've always wanted to do, I think, as like a band, is like expand into that world that is in a way very kind of nerve wracking to even wrap your head around, because as typical metal musicians, we're very used to having this form of like, okay, here's the song, this riff has to happen here, it's this many times. And especially with Blood Incantations music, it's very, very important that you are on track the whole time, because it's easy to, if you miss one 16th note, then you're out of the loop. But that being said, you know, for us to kind of expand like we did when we started writing this record with the improvisation, and then bringing that onto a stage like the Gothic Theater in front of all these people, and like we're in this world, you know, together, it was one of the most incredible experiences. You know, simultaneously there's like lasers shooting out everywhere, and you know,
crystals everywhere.
It was a profoundly psychedelic experience. Absolutely. Well, for sure.
It's really interesting to hear you guys talk about this, because it reminds me of the musician Pauline Oliveros, who's an ambient artist, and she talks about the concept of deep listening. And listening with intention, listening closely to the most minute changes, and how it takes music from entertainment to something much larger and more impactful, and that it can change your life.
It's absolutely.
People have hit us up just about Time Wave being like, you know, I didn't really know what I was getting into, and I've started feeling different about myself and about life at the end, like the end of each side. You know, one side is more active and one side is more expansive, and that's kind of just another part of the homage back to those 70s records. But at the end of each sidelong track, there's these really emotive parts, you know, where there's a lot of dynamics, and maybe even it's the most minimalist part, but there's a lot of potency in that minimalism. And some people have even been like, you know, I didn't know I needed a record like this to ease my anxiety or to help get me out of the maelstrom of the 21st century hellscape that we're all stuck in. And, you know, people growing as a listener under the influence of this music, like that's the different type of reward as an artist that we had never experienced, you know. Yeah. We didn't expect that type of a response, you know. We didn't.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's something that you hope for, but yeah, to that point too, it's something about listening to music. Like, we are ultimately just huge music fans that we digest all of this stuff, you know, that we are all listen to so many different records, so many different types of music. And to that deep listening point, you know, I think part of maybe some of the reaction to this new record is that, you know, people are just ingrained to be like, okay, an album needs to be 15 songs. They're each 4 minutes long. A lot of times there's only two really good songs, and you buy the app or you listen to the Spotify stream just to get that one song, yeah, and then it's on a playlist. And so what Time Wave Zero does is it forces the listener into that state of just being like, okay, you're here, you are in the now, you are you, and whatever's going on.
It's slow moving, it unfolds at a glacial pace, you know. It's one thing I think is awesome about it, which I think perfectly explains why certain people are upset about it, is that there's a lot of emotion in this record. There's a lot of dynamics and emotional journey or whatnot, you know. It's introspective, it's self-reflective, it's expansive and exploratory, and like sitting with yourself and being present with the movement as it unfolds. It's like these guys who come back and say upon repeated listens it's a grower, because they notice more interesting stuff. Like I said with the death metal stuff, the first time you play a Demolich record for a person who's never even heard a distorted guitar, they're not going to be able to make sense of that, you know what I mean? And so they have to be acclimated over time. And so for people who are not acclimated to long form music, minimalist music, experimental, avant-garde, ambient, whatever, and also are not acclimated to sitting with themselves, they don't like to be quiet, they don't like to be still, maybe they don't like to meditate or never have or whatever, this is very normal in society. In fact, our society prioritizes the opposite of this environment. Mm-hmm. Once you immerse yourself and let go and are present with the unfolding of the journey, I think that's when people are getting these kind of more profound experiences out of the record. And that's when they're messaging us being like, you know, my depression or anxiety, or I think differently about myself after that. Like, what am I? Who am I? What are we doing here? It's like, exactly. Welcome. We don't know either. We're just trying to ask these questions. That's why we made this band.
As we say goodbye, I'd like to ask you a final question. I know that the plan is to return to death metal for future albums. But for a future non-metal album, can your audience expect a Blood Incantation Gamelin record or a Music Concrete record? What other terrain are you looking to expand?
I think world music and new age music are very, very important to us. So I can't say that there's going to ever be another record that's going to be whatever, you know. We're definitely going to keep making metal records, but Blood Incantation is going to do something that you don't expect.
Thanks to Isaac and Paul for the conversation. It was a good one. We're going to fill out the rest of the program with a Blood Incantation playlist, some older material from them, as well as associated acts that they've played with. So we'll hear from Blood Incantation from their EP Interdimensional Beings. We'll hear Obfuscating the Linear Threshold. After that, Leech from the album Against Leviathan. We will hear At Once Our Home Was Overcome by a Roar. After that, their other group, which is a doom death metal band, Spectral Voice. We'll hear Horrid Phantasm from the Necrotic Doom tape. Merkstav with Lament for Lost Gods Part 1. Wayfarer with The Dreaming Plane from World's Blood. And finally, Elu of the Nine with their song Seventh Gate. They're without question my favorite band on this playlist. They feature members of the doom band Hell, based in Salem, Oregon. If you haven't heard them, you need to change that. That brings us up to date. You're listening to a Blood Incantation playlist on CKUT.
Thank you. Thank you.